You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
One time, two times. Roberto Mata's back. Wait, you were here last week, weren't you?
Wait, wasn't I? I swear it's, I was.
We did it early. You made fun of me anyway.
I didn't make fun of you.
Cue the sniper, girl. I'm gonna show you around the whole world and that in a saboteur. They don't know what this gun is used for. I feel the music skipped. Anyway, hi everyone. The last Rulaska thoughts for season 16, the grand finale. And like I said, anywhere between 30 minutes to an hour, he is my podcast boyfriend. He's the one, the only, coming to us from the Wicked Witch of the West Hollywood, Miss Roberto Mata. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Joe. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm doing well. I went to a gay wedding today in Palm Springs, but you're not feeling so hot.
I mean, yeah, I am mildly under the weather, but as I've thought about it, I was hiking yesterday, and I wonder if I maybe just took a face full of pollen on accident, and maybe I'm just like...
Pollen? Is that what you're calling it?
I teed that one up for you very easily, right?
Thank you.
How was the gay wedding, though? That sounds really exciting and fun and cute.
Well, it was the Johns, who you've met, John Paul, but you've never met Evil John, right?
I haven't, and I would love to witness one of these alleged tantrums in person.
Well, so, you know, the big thing is he collects dolls, and so... And
yeah, Ken that's a whole other issue.
Yeah, Ken goes everywhere. So when they told me they were getting married, I insisted that I be the person in charge of the Ken doll. So here's the Ken doll going to the wedding.
Okay.
Here's the Ken
doll. Wait, he's dressed in white like the bride.
Yeah. Here's the Ken doll. There's a video of the Ken doll at the wedding, but that's a video.
What did you have to say? Did he enjoy the ceremony?
But anyway, here's the cake topper. I don't know if you can see it among all the toys. But they had two cake toppers. The other one was a little bit more risque. Two, like, leather daddies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that supposed to resemble John and John?
No, because if it did, then the person did a really poor job.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say that, but I was curious.
Yeah. So, you know, went to that wedding today, but the trap, because today's the Monday after the second weekend of Coachella.
Yo, yes. So the traffic.
The traffic was awful. It took me 2.5 hours to get back. It was awful.
Oh, well, even that's actually not too terrible.
I know, but still, don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Roberto Mata, we're not here to talk about, well, you know, here's some behind the scenes tea.
Oh, a peek behind the curtain, as you love to say.
Well, because you were there for the genesis of it. So the other day, I'm at home minding my own BI business. I had already watched Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
And this Christian Ochoa calls me. Upset. Angry. Oh. That we never had him on as a co-host this season.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you peeked your head in.
Yeah, I guess. This is so stupid. It makes no sense. But when someone says call, I never think that you mean FaceTime. Because FaceTiming is such a specific thing.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, he FaceTimed you at the club. Me. When we were watching the finale together.
He was really upset that we never had him on. And then I thought about it. I'm like, wait a minute. He was on an episode. He was a
That was on Patreon only.
No, it wasn't. He was on the remember with the Mattel sisters?
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, I feel sorry for him, right? Because he's like, oh, you never had me on. How could you do this? Blah 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 blah. And I hang up, I go, you know what? How much damage could he do on the finale? Right? So I message him and I say,
listen, we record at 4 tomorrow. You're welcome to be a guest. He goes, okay, great. I'll be there. Then next day, he's like, in the morning, he's like, I go, I can see you today at 4. He goes, we're really doing this at 4? And I, that should have been my first hint, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I go, yeah, we're really doing it. We do it at 4 every single time. Well, I should rephrase. We always do it at 9 a.m. Australian time. Mm-hmm. Then, like, at 2 o'clock, it hits me. And I'm like, oh, shit. Today's 4:20, and we're recording in the 4 o'clock hour.
Oh.
So I go, listen.
I forget that's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, because you're an adult.
Well, no, I think because I've been through several years of 420 celebrations and weed's been legal in California for so long that who even cares anymore? It's like if we have a dedicated alcohol day, everyone would be like, who fucking cares? We get drunk whenever we want. Yeah. So.
And so he goes, well, it's much like New Year's Eve. It's like amateur hour.
Oh, well.
So he goes, listen, that's a good idea. We should do the show high. I go, that's
is that a good idea?
Not a good idea. He goes, I was just kidding, boo. I have shit to do. I can't get high. And I was like, okay, see you at 4. 4 o'clock, Nathan and I are there.
TikTok.
Where's Christian? 4:03 or something. He's like, hey, boo, running 15 minutes late. See you.
And I go, I love how it's changed from doll to boo.
Yeah. There's no 15 minutes late. We start the show at 4.
Yeah, I mean, so well, Nathan, you say that, but what did we do today, Josito?
Yeah, Nathan and I did it too. So, Christian doesn't even know this. Christian doesn't know. So here's the funny thing. Christian's going to be so mad when he hears this. I anticipated this. So the second he said, I'm going to be there in 15 minutes. See you. And I'm like, no, you're not. We're recording. And he didn't say anything, right?
Okay.
I told this Nathan, I go, we have to leave this room. I go, we got to go over to another room. Because this fucker's going
to fuck. You had to go to the gold bar.
Yeah, you're right. We went to the gold bar. So we go to the gold bar and record the entire episode. Mm-hmm. Then I come back, I look at my phone, and Christian's like, hello, where are you guys?
Dita Von Teese just sitting there?
Yeah. Yes, you're right. He was Dita. That's very good. He was Dita Von Teese just sitting there. And then we came back and we did Just Between Us Girls with him, which you should listen to in your special host feed if it's there.
Yeah, I'll have to catch up on J-Bug because I mostly listen to the main show. Also, thank you for my several dedicated sections on today's episode, Josito. I'm thrilled to hear about the audience applause again and mm-hmm. all that other fun stuff.
Well, in the episode, I called that you would be on the treadmill. What were you doing, actually?
I was composing emails.
Yeah, because you're sick.
It's a Monday.
If you wouldn't have been sick.
Oh, no, I don't do the gym on Mondays. Hell
you don't?
No. Unless I absolutely have to based on my travel schedule.
Oh, really?
No, that's no. Super Monday is a day for rest, unlike the biblical normal.
So that's when you write stuff. Email. Oh, because you were so... Well, what was the other segment
girl?
That we talked about you?
You referenced me really quickly in something... Oh, Jeffrey Moran, pass around the party bottom.
Oh, yeah.
He's an icon. Right. Don't talk shit on my boy, Jeffrey Moran.
All right. So why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break here? And when we come back, we are going to talk about our thoughts on the episode. We'll be back right after this.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right. I got to get something off my chest. By the time I finish watching RuPaul's Drag Race 2 times, recording 2 different shows about it, and spending my entire week around RuPaul's Drag Race, the last thing I want to do is listen to other podcasts about RuPaul's Drag Race. But people are constantly saying, do you listen to this podcast or that podcast? And I'll be honest with you, I don't, because I barely have time to record the one that I do. And this sits on me, on my chest. So I have to get it off my chest because I'm like, is this hindering my growth as a creator? So I'm glad I told you guys this so you guys can stop recommending shows or asking me if I listen to Race Chaser or Sibling Rivalry. We all carry around different stressors, by the way. Big, small, serious, silly. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest. Can you imagine if I went to therapy with this? And to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I have benefited tremendously from therapy. Tremendously. And it's a way for me to work out different problems that I've had. And I've shared those problems with you before. If you have stressors in your life, you need to talk them out. That's how you release the toxicity, is by talking it out. And therapy can help do that. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. When they designed it to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you got to do is just fill out a brief questionnaire and they'll match you with a licensed therapist. And by the way, if you don't like your therapist, you can just switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragrace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
And we are back. So, Robert, I want you to do some reporting for me.
Alrighty.
Not only do I want your thoughts on the episode, but I wanted you to report on what the reaction was at High Tops, the bar that you frequent in West Hollywood, on Friday night.
Uh-huh. So my thoughts were fairly in line, I think, with the internet's response, which is Safira deserved the crown based on her performance over the season, but there's no doubt that Nymphia won that episode, and so here we are. She won. She did great. It was a great performance. She had a great showing. And I'm happy that Nymphia is the America's Next Drag Superstar, even though I was Team Safira. So it's like happy-go-lucky rainbows and smiles there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, as a side note, I think it's weird as hell that we now have a Pokemon name in the Drag Race winner circle. But does that matter? No, not really. Yeah. But it should have been Charmander or something sexier mm-hmm. than Nymphia, but whatever. I just don't like that evolution very much, but that doesn't matter. So the bar was having a ball. I think they were super, super jazzed about it. I confess that I couldn't really control my eye rolling when I first saw the banana and a couple mm-hmm. of the other obvious things, but it definitely felt like the public was strongly Team Nymphia. And the uproar when she won was pretty severe, but I took the time to finish my Stella. I applauded, of course, and I'm genuinely still happy for her. But it's also, I had Christian in my ear screaming the whole time, and he gave a really long and passionate monologue, mostly to himself, about the beauty of an immigrant storyline,
mm-hmm.
And sort of ending in this kind of victory, to which I couldn't help but say, you know, Nymphia was born in LA, right? But
oh, she was?
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about this. There was a speech I gave that I cut out of a show where I didn't take a position, but I did talk about the controversy over anchor babies. But
okay.
But I get the sense that she lives in Taiwan.
Yes, I think you know, we make the joke about me being born in San Diego, other friends being born in other places, and you know, where are you actually from? like truly where you socialized, where are your cultural norms? And for Nymphia, that's clearly Taiwan. So the technical fact that she was born as an American allowed her to have a passport, which allowed her to be on the show. So that's a great intersection of circumstance, but it doesn't change the fact that she's clearly Taiwanese to the core.
Yeah. So, yeah, but, you know, this is something that came up on the show and we can talk about here. But I don't know what the final results were, but Nymphia was way ahead of the pack on the Twitter vote.
She was.
And Saphira was very behind. And there are, I think, a lot of reasons for that. And some having very little to do with their performances. But do you think that that had an impact on the way that the judging went, the way that the decision went?
I actually don't think so, because we don't have any like strong like data trends from previous seasons to say that the fan vote actually matters in any actionable way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really all over the place about who will win in the end based on, you know, Instagram, Twitter, and I don't know if they do polls on TikTok, but I imagine they do. So it just... I mean, if Saphira had won that finale, regardless of the fan vote, I would have been surprised in a way that I would have been like, well, I'm happy for her, but that doesn't really make sense with what we saw on television.
Well, you know, it's so funny. And I gave a bunch. I mentioned on the show that hindsight is 20/20. So once Nymphia won, I was like, well, of course it makes sense that she won, even though I had, if you asked me seconds before the episode, I would have told you she was a very distant third.
Oh.
But then seeing her performance in the episode, I was like, oh, okay. But also taking into account is that if you're from a producing standpoint, Saphira, well, plain Jane, obviously, but Saphira would be better on an All Stars than Nymphia would.
Is so, that true?
I feel like Nymphia sort of petered out at the end, that she came in very quirky and weird and strong. And then towards the end, we started to see very little of her because she just wasn't giving enough. And your boyfriend, Matt Rogers, mm-hmm. has said on his podcast that they told him that they were surprised at her revelations in the podcast because they had sort of warned him before that she wasn't going to give him very much.
Sure.
So I think in that respect, there might have been a decision too, just in terms of television. Well, like if we give her the crown, we're good. You know, maybe in a distant all winter season, she can come back. But but I don't know. These are considerations that maybe don't even happen. Maybe they truly are just like, you know, because like, again, by your account, if track record is everything, then Sasha Velour shouldn't have won season 9.
Well, did I ever say that?
Yes, you did. You told me before that Sasha Velour should have won season 9.
Did I ever say that track record was the end all be all? I don't think I ever have, actually. You're putting words in my mouth, mamas. Though I have come around as a pretty big Sasha Velour fan. I'm excited to see her on We're Here. Actually, I was started as a little bit of a hater, I confess.
Oh, you were a hater of Sasha Velour. Why is that?
Well, you know, I think it's very tacky to go around talking about like, oh, I'm so smart, I'm so intelligent, I'm so brainy. I'm like, if you have any tact whatsoever.
Well, what's
and
funny
she never really showed it until she finally showed it. And then as the years have gone on, her activism and creativity has been so undeniable that I'm like, yeah, she really is everything that she kept saying on season 9.
Is there anybody that you were a fan of that you've become less of a fan of?
There's a bit of a boomerang with Monet Exchange. I'd say in season 10, she was my runaway favorite by far. And then in All Stars 4, I was like, I don't know who this queen is anymore, really. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's as fun as I thought she was. And her podcast is, they kind of like constantly... confidently say incorrect things. like the provably false, certifiably false things, and like with very, and it just wasn't the moment. But when she came back on All Star 7, I found my love for her reignited again. So there was like a journey there.
So now you like her again.
Yeah, but I can't think of anyone who I adored and then truly fell off and stayed off the train. You know, was there one for you
that I adored and then I fell off the train? Off the top of my head, the only one I can think of, this is not really the case. I will say that I still like this drag queen, but I sort of feel like Bianca Del Rio has frozen and never has not evolved.
I think, yeah, thank you for reminding me of that, because I think I share the same opinion. I'm actually seeing her in a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. but I've seen a number of her other stand-up specials, and it really is the same kind of, like, if she's not ad-libbing and doing crowd work, which is what she's pretty good at, mm-hmm. her prepared material is usually like tired, tropey crap, like Asians can't drive and Latinos steal things. And I'm just like, girl, that's like 20, 30-year-old humor.
Yeah, yeah.
Not an age group, but like just in terms of shit that was acceptable at one point and now no longer
is. Far enough away now. We're coming up, you know, it's exactly 10 years since season 6. And it's just like, well, what? You know, like, I feel like Jinx is a good example of someone who has evolved. Like, she won season 5, but she's evolved into something more. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel Bianca has.
Well, I don't know that Bianca really needed to, unless, and we talked about this or touched on it earlier, unless she really wanted to truly become a mainstream quality stand-up comic. And her tours are all stand-up comedy tours. It's just, we're still kind of grading on that drag queen curve, I think, when it comes 100%. To her.
I mean, I 100%. You know, here's the thing. It's tricky because, you know, the more you do stand-up, the better you get at it for a lot of people. So I think a lot of my early criticisms in terms of the stand-up of Bianca and Bob was they went from, like, basically open micers to now stand-up comedian official headliners overnight. And I don't know if they were ready, but I think that they both have grown into that role, which you can easily do just the more times you do it. But yeah. I still think, yes, that they're graded on a curve, definitely. I still think your average middle comic at a big club in L.A., will be better than either one of those two. But there seems to be this, you know, don't even get me started on my Mateo Lane's shit. So,
well, let's not. We don't need to.
He posted another video.
We don't need to.
The other day, I sent it to Jeremy, and he came this close. He set up a joke. Uh-oh. He set it up, and that was the end of the video. He didn't finish the joke. Oh. It was a setup, and that was it. I don't remember what it was about. And I was like, oh, he was almost there.
I haven't seen too much of his content, but I think I saw something that was somehow made its way onto my Instagram Explore feed, and I gave him a good look, and I had to really ask myself, this is the person that Joe thinks only got famous because he's hot? Like, I don't really see it.
Oh, no, I'm with you. I don't see it, but, like, the people that I know that defend him will always add in there. I don't know why. They'll always add, and he's hot.
I mean, he's not bad looking, but...
Look, there was one where he did with a woman who actually was funny. There's a clip that I saw. It was him and a woman on stage at the Comedy Cellar. And I sent this to my friend. And the woman was actually really funny that he was with. She was really funny. And he was just there. An audience member with a mic. And I said, look, there's a third person on stage. And because his dick was just so bulgy in his pants. And I was like, well, there's like a third person on this comedy show.
Uh-huh. Richard.
Exactly. His Richard Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And he was strangely more interesting than his owner.
Well, we're still gay anyway, at the end of the day.
Yeah. But, I can't start this rant again, Robert.
I didn't want to start it. You brought it up.
I forgot to mention one thing on the show. I don't know how I missed this. I actually have all my notes here. Make sure I said everything.
I mean, yeah, I still have plenty of thoughts about the actual finale. Yeah. Now we're just meandering into random gay shit, as always.
One of the things I forgot to mention was on Safira's, after her number, the audience was applauding, and they were trying to hide it in the mix, but you can hear RuPaul going absolutely apeshit in the background. They buried it in the mix, but if you listen,
you can hear
RuPaul just screaming in the background, which is funny because then they immediately go to, they say, like, ah! Wait, hold on here for a second.
No.
You know, in the background, you hear...
That's from the season 5 roast, right?
No, this is from the Drew Barrymore show when she was on.
Are you being dead ass?
Yeah, I'm being serious.
That sounds exactly like one of the laughs from the season 5 roast.
Nope, that's Drew Barrymore, Ross Matthews, and Rue. Because Ross Matthews is like the Ed McMahon on the Drew Barrymore show.
Hmm. Well, wasn't he on the Chelsea Lately the same?
Or was it Chelsea Lately? Chelsea,
was it not Chelsea Lately? Where was he the gay intern? Was that the Late Show?
Oh, no, the Tonight Show with Johnny Knight Curtis. With Jay Leno.
Got it. I thought for some reason it was Chelsea Lately the whole time.
No.
But I didn't really watch. I mean, I was like 12, so.
Yeah, you'd have been very young. Oh, so that was the one thing I had to mention. What else did you have to say about the finale?
Well, there was this thing that I've kind of been keeping to myself all season, mm-hmm. and it was that Safira's entrance line is, "Ooh, I think this place is haunted." And there has been no payoff on that whatsoever one time throughout the season. And I'm trying to, like, high school English teacher my way into some kind of a stretched, horrible, the curtains are blue, so the author is depressed theory. And mm-hmm. I just can't come up with shit about what, and similarly, what, you know, brings us back on that loop is, why were there vampire teeth?
The padam
blood, get my heart pumping. Like, there's a very, very faint line to be drawn there. But again, she didn't actually follow up with anything that continued that storyline. So it just, all these spooky references with Safira, I don't get where they're coming from or what they mean or if they were even anything. And I'm just finding a common thread between them.
Maybe she's making a play to be on Dracula.
But then maybe I'd say Lucy LaDuca did more spooky related things last season than Safira did this season. The spookiest thing she did was that Halloween Town big ass pumpkin look, which was great.
Are you mad like other people are that so far we haven't seen an in-person reunion?
Yeah, I think I said that last week that like I like lip syncs on Drag Race. I don't necessarily love like 10 of them in a row because I think it kind of takes away the actual tension of any of them mm-hmm. and entertainment value. It's just, you know, kind of samey, but reunions at least allow, not that it has to be one or the other, but that was the question last week. But reunions mm-hmm. allow us to actually see the girls and have them engage, hopefully in a somewhat fluid conversation. And that's what I find most interesting about the show. So that's just my personal take on the matter. But my other complaints about this finale, which I think is pretty universally held, hopefully, maybe not, is that filming it so soon after the season without any time in between robbed us of something we even got on the COVID Zoom finales, which was a sense of growth in the 8 or 9 months since filming to, mm-hmm. you know, the grand drag Oscar pageant night that we usually get. So really, what would the reunion have been? Because the queens probably hadn't seen any of the show. They don't know what their edits were going to be like. They don't know what feuds the audience actually cared about. They don't know what memes truly were born. That's why we kept getting Burger Finger shit, even though no one cares. It felt so flat and like not great. It felt kind of awkward also because the stock crowd applause was so obvious. Oh. More than usual. It makes me think about like the seasons, you know, 4 through whatever, like were all those audience sounds fake too?
Oh, definitely season 4. They didn't even seem like synced up.
That's true.
But like I said, I mentioned this in the show, almost every queen, even the finalists, we're doing that thing with their hands. We're like, give me more, give me more, give me more. Because
yeah.
Obviously, who do you think was there? I think it was just friends and family. I think World of Wonder is too cheap to hire extras.
I vaguely remember around the time that this was supposedly filmed. Mm-hmm. I'm not on a lot of these lists, but for some reason I do get some of them. Mm-hmm. It was an audience call for a drag related show. And at the time I assumed it was for Queen of the Universe, but it might have been this because they don't disclose all the details about what the gig is. You know, they're mm-hmm. just like, we need this kind of people. And you know, it's going to be this kind of affair, generally speaking. And I wonder if that was the case. And I could have been there.
You could have been there, Robert.
But even then, would I have been juiced? Because I wouldn't have known any of those queens. You know, like there's no screaming and tearing the house down for Valentina. There's no booing when Magnolia Crawford comes on. There's the audience didn't know anything about any of these people.
Yes, you're right. It was just all flat applause. You're right.
is cordial and kind, but like, and even then, you don't know if any of these people even give the tiniest bit of fuck about drag. So like, they don't even know what was impressive that they were actually witnessing and what wasn't.
And where did T.S. Madison go? I mean, we talked about this in the show, but like, she did vanish. Kind of weird. There's no explanation that T.S. Madison just left so RuPaul could sit there.
Yeah, the one last thing on the format of the finale is that the internet, and by this I mean Reddit, has really run away with this sort of like, oh, I have inside knowledge that it was absolutely the writer's strike that was causing it. I just don't think that is true. If anything,
I apologized for that.
It's not even you. It's unless you're the origin of it on all internet forums.
No.
But it's just always like the most upvoted comment, like, oh, well, the WGA was going to stop them. Like, that doesn't make any sense
now that I think about it. But yeah, okay, go ahead.
The closest thing to that would have been the fact that IOTC is having their negotiation cycle come up right now because they're on a 3-year contract, and IOTC shows do, I expect, cover Drag Race. That's the whole reason why Delta Work was no longer on the show. So had IOTC taken all the political momentum from the double strike of last year and the, you know, pendulum swung in their favor, they could have very much have gone on strike as well. And that would have coincided possibly a little too close to comfort, because it would have been now.
Once someone said it was the book tour, I was like, oh, it was 100% the book tour. And it was 100%
the book tour. It could have been the book tour, but I guess, and maybe I'm being ignorant here, but is RuPaul's schedule booked that far out?
She was doing...
I guess probably so, actually.
Probably so, because she booked theaters. She was in theaters. Yeah. Isn't she somewhere, or she was somewhere last weekend, and it was the end of the book tour, which coincided with the finale, which I think is weird. Yeah, and so she was in theaters and doing like whole show. I don't know what she was talking about, but
well, I'm always a fan of Rue and grateful for the platform for this show that she's provided. But I hope that in the future she recognizes that, I don't know, at least for someone like me, I come to the show for the queens, and I would love to see them have a proper, great finale over prioritizing Rue's little book tour.
But don't you think you're going to get that reunion at Drag Can?
Well, yeah, but the Drag Can reunions are so... They're just Bootsy Girl.
I've never seen one of them.
They're really stilted, and there are no camera angles that are actually... It costs about $5 in an iPhone to produce it, so that's what they're going to do. And that's... I guess you can get an honest, raw... conversation from the queens in that format. So maybe ultimately that's what I truly want. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's going to be the same, because it's not going to have all the viewership and therefore the discourse that, you know, most other reunions would have had.
Wasn't there one where the girls got in a fight on the platform?
One of the DragCon ones?
Yeah, I feel like the Drag Race UK or Drag Race Canada or something. It was one of the ones I don't watch.
Huh? I think the most contentious one was Canada season 3, possibly. But even then, I don't want to ever spend time on television in a convention center lighting situation. It's just harsh. It's not comfy.
Robert is so picky about things.
I am.
So
I feel like I can afford to be.
So we are, you know, the four, Christian, Robert, and I are going to welcome Jeremy and go to the Magic Castle in a couple weeks. And I was looking at the lineup, and it's one of the best lineups that they've had in years.
For a special thing.
Huh?
In a special thing. You have to clarify that part.
What do you mean?
Well, it's not like it's just the casual lineup of casual folk that we could casually go see. You have to do several required steps to be able to attend.
One of the shows, if you want to guarantee a seat, you have to have dinner. And I was like, let's have dinner. And Robert was like, no, I won't have dinner.
That's not... No, you were talking around it, and you said, well, if we had dinner, then maybe we could see the show, and that would be, that's one option, and we'd have to go later or start earlier. And I was like, well, I guess I don't really need to have dinner, so if that's the suggestion here.
Well,
like,
it is solved.
Count me
out.
We are
just going to go to the early show that does not require a ticket for dinner. But Robert was like, no, I will not do dinner.
That's not what I said. I just said I didn't have to do it.
Anyway, people don't care about this. What we want to care about is, so Robert, are we doing Relaska Thoughts for All-Stars?
Yeah, why not?
And then, in the meanwhile, people, I don't know, there's talk of me and Robert at some point, I don't know, it could be tomorrow, it could be in 2 months, I don't know when, of doing one of the Untucked seasons. You guys have strong feelings about which Untucked we should do, let us know, but we're leaning towards two or three. We were talking about that before the show. If you had your druthers, Robert, which one would you do?
It's hard to say because two and three are probably my favorite pieces of the entire Drag Race franchise. Like the Untucks, like that's, it puts me right into when I was being socialized as a gay, surrounded by a bunch of mean, nasty gay wolves, everyone cutting into each other. It just, it feels like watching a show on MTV after your parents have gone to sleep and the volume's down on low because you can't get caught watching this faggot shit. Like it puts me in such a headspace that I'm excited to do either one. I would just prefer it's one of those two. I like 4, 5, and 6 as well. They just don't feel, I think something about watching in standard definition really turns on my baby brain.
Well, 4, 5, and 6, particularly 5 and 6, suffer from the things that all the Untucked suffer from, is that it's amazing the first, I don't know, 4 or 5 episodes. And then as the contestants start to leave, it gets more and more boring. They don't know what to do. Season 3 is one of the rare ones. It's pretty good the entire way through. I don't, again, I've never seen season 2's Untucked, so I don't know. But season 2
Untucked is a bitch fest. It's crazy.
All the way through?
It's so extra. Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
they're so nasty for no reason.
I need to send you this porn.
Okay.
Because there's this porn star who, I don't want to say his name because I think you'll look at him and be like, no, but I think I need to send you the right one, who looks like a young Tom Cruise.
Okay.
And I know he's your jam, so I'm like, oh, you might like this guy, even though he's not generally your type.
Okay.
But he does look just like a young Tom Cruise.
Interesting. I mean, I could always look at the, what was that website that posted screenshots of the porn, like in a review way? Way Big. I could look at the Way Big article on the video.
Let me, wait, on what video? The one I'm going to send you?
Yeah. That way I don't have to actually watch the video. I can just see the highlights.
Wait, what are you talking about? I don't know.
You never heard of Way Big?
No.
It's just like a compilation of, like, let's say, I don't even know if it's actually still in existence, but it, at least when I was watching porn, it was like, let's say.
Wait. What did you say?
Let me reframe that. Yeah.
Okay.
When I was watching current and new porn.
What do you watch now?
Oftentimes I'll go to my favorites if I'm watching porn.
Oh, I see. I see. So it's not like you're watching like, what was that guy's name? There's this old man. He had the weirdest look. William Higgins pornos from the 70s.
Well, I love a retro moment too, though, yeah, to be honest with you. I guess vintage is the word,
there
right?
There is one that I want to find so badly. If anyone could find it for me, please, please message me. I don't know the name of it. I think I saw it on like Pornhub or something. So there was, I just didn't think
good
about
luck.
It. But it was, it's old. It's from like the 70s or early 80s. And it is a blonde, thin gay man, white, of course. And he, for the first few minutes, he is like getting ready because his boyfriend's going to come back from the military.
Oh, you told me about this one last year. You still haven't found it?
No, I haven't really looked for it.
Wait, sorry, finish the description. Yeah, so someone can maybe find it.
And then I remember at the end, he gets a knock on the door and he's so excited because he thinks it's his boyfriend. And it's a military man. He hands him a telegram and it says,
oh,
your boyfriend is dead. Or something we really like, no telegram would ever say.
MIA.
And I got interrupted. And I've never even seen sex from this scene. I've never even seen sex or anything. And I want to know what happens in this porn. If someone could please. I know there's a Reddit called Tip of My Penis.
Is the idea that he's in the Vietnam War?
I think it's kind of hinting at that. Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely 70s, though. It's not 60s.
Well, taking the geopolitical implications there into looping back to the finale, have you seen all the support Nymphia's gotten about, I mentioned at the very beginning of the season, and I'm happy that it's kind of coming to fruition, that recognizing Taiwanese culture by name is really such a subversive moment, like on a global scale, and allowing Nymphia to do that has been so awesome. She's had like the president of Taiwan commented on her victory post.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
And you know, like the power of like being a cultural ambassador in that way. And now that, you know, maybe that's only true for queer audiences who are engaged with Drag Race, but I think that that's allowed recognition of Taiwan as an independent country to be really just kind of now common sense to them. And I think that's a very powerful thing. Not that that really has much to do with old war porn, but it put me in the head space.
That's what this show is all about, Robert. It's about light and dark, salty and sweet, old porn, and geopolitics.
Sounds like a regular Sunday night.
It's going to wrap it up for this season of Rulaska Thoughts. We'll be back, I think, with All Stars 9. Which, do you already know everything that happens in All Stars 9 too, Robert?
No. I know who the cast is, and I know that the format is not one that I'm particularly excited for.
Oh, they've changed the format.
Sort of. I guess you'll see.
I guess I'll find out May 19th. Isn't that the day it comes out? May 19th or something like that?
Maybe the 17th?
Oh, 17th? I don't know, something like that.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, and we'll be back. I think Taylor's hosting with me. I'm not sure yet. That hasn't been finalized. But
the lawyers are drafting the contract.
Lawyers are drafting the contract as we speak. Or maybe somebody else. Maybe it'll be... God, can you imagine if it's Christian Ochoa?
It could be, but...
No. Well, it'd be Christian Ochoa. It's not with me.
just Christian?
Yeah, that's actually the name of the show, Just Christian.
I'd watch it.
I'd watch it, too. Because I love that kid.
Well, he's the biggest
compliment ever to call him a kid.
31-year-old adult now, so...
Yeah. Or maybe he's 30. Guys, we'll see you guys in about a month or so, right here on... Rulaska Thoughts.
Good night.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring the show. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/dragrace.